Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Moses, in a disillusioning time of his life, looked around and realized on whom he could count was God. And he highlighted that God is not a man that he would lie, neither the son of man that he needs to repent. Has he not spoken? Shall he not make it good? Has he not said it would be, and so it shall? A persecuted church early in the Roman Empire had a remarkable person step forward and said, in the midst of all the chaos that is unfolding, here's what I know is true. That Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In your changing life and our changing world, we're looking for that centering relationship that will keep us rooted and yet flexible so that we can find our way and soar in an age of radical change. Frequently, we'll find ourselves asking, do I really need to learn this? Because I've been learning a lot of other stuff and change. And some people are thinking, I wonder if I can slip out of this earth without having to learn how to do that. Some people are thinking, I know that I may have just bought my last kind of gas-fueled car. Some of us looking into the future are glad there is going to be driverless cars so that when we lose our capacity to drive, there'll be a car that could take us where we need to be. Recently talking to a really good man who said his industry is changing so radically that he hopes that his position will still be viable, still be in existence 5 years from now. We all know this story, which highlights then this remarkable consistency of God. Because it is in God's goodness and God's character that we are made for this frontline living in the 21st century. And we will say frequently, and for us and our lives and in worship, that God is good. And all the time, and to that I add, even when the times aren't good, God is good. The very core and character of God, then, is how our lives may find a direction, and we may always know the direction of each day as we follow this Christ who is so consistent. And it's helpful when we can look back and see how other people have navigated radical change in their life, and not only lived through it, but it provided a pathway, a pioneer way for others to follow like we follow today. Enoch was one of those people. You can pronounce it Enoch or Enoch, and Enoch lived a long time ago, and he lived a long time. And in the uniqueness of Enoch's life is that he did not physically die. It's a remarkable story that early in Genesis 5, God wanted everyone to know that his vision for each person born on earth would be an eternity made possible by faith in heaven. And so to illustrate that message, then he had Enoch just kind of make his transition from earth to heaven. In scriptures, it's called a translation. I like that translation. It was said that way of the prophet Elijah, just to enable us to know the story that awaits each of us as we do move through our death. And so Enoch asked the question, so what? Because he lived a long time and he didn't know that's how his life on earth would conclude, this translation directly into heaven. And he had to ask frequently in his life, so what? And from him we learn a penetrating truth. There are only 5 verses in the scripture that refer to him. But in these 5 verses, we find this powerful message for our day. Just like in Jabez, this long list of people in 2 Chronicles about so-and-so was born, so-and-so was born. And then it was said that Jabez, whose name meant curse, prayed for God for a difference and that God would expand his territory, and the Lord did. We call that Jabez's prayer. Now, we find the learning lesson for Enoch is unfolded in the great book of Hebrews 11. And in this story called the Hall of Fame, in the story of Hebrews 11, many people, many men and women are mentioned that we may learn from. Some of the greats, like, Moses and Abraham, Even David has a mentioning. But Enoch is listed along with all the others. Why? Because the power principle that shaped who Enoch was is the power principle that's our way of living life today. And that is, he sought to please God, and by wanting to please God, he could see everything else for what it was and could be, as well as what deceptions were and were to be avoided. Enoch saw what it was said of him, that he was commended as one who would please God. Hebrews 11:5. How are you known? Somebody says, well, tell me about that person. Wouldn't it be a wonderful gift if someone could say about you or with me, well, this person more than anything else wants to please God. Now, by pleasing God, that means it enables us to do the rest of our life. It enables us to do what Jesus said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as we keep that focus and we're on that path, and everything else that is needed is brought to us, David the psalmist would say, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And then he unfolds how that happens. And trusting God's pleasure. Now, it's important that we want to please the right person. Is there somebody in your life that you can never, ever please, but they're always asking you to please them? Well, that's glad. And that one person who we can never quite satisfy. There's always, could have been better, could have been done differently. And it just is demotivating, just kind of yucky. And then it can get controlling in our life. And I want to be real clear about pleasing God is not that way. The grace of God enables us to know that his gift in our life enables us to please him in our imperfection, to please him when, you know, we're human beings, but transformed in the promise of Christ, and that gives God great pleasure. Your willingness to grow in love with him, your willingness to be in faithful relationship with him, pleases God. And through this desire, Enoch pleased God. He was a forerunner of the Ten Commandments. To please God, it means to tell the truth. It means not to steal and not to murder. Those Ten Commandments that Moses would later receive from God to reveal, Enoch was living them. And we know what to do most of the time in our life. And those few times when we're not really sure what to do, Thomas Merton, a great follower of Jesus, who lived not far from where we had lived in Kentucky, said, Lord, I don't know if what I'm doing, though I have prayed to know what to do, is really pleasing to you, but I do know that my desire to please you pleases you. And that's where we can always go to. And so Enoch's wanting to please God wasn't trying just to be a good boy, wasn't trying to, you know, get a pat on the back. He just knew that God's goodness was the one goodness that could steady him in his long life, helping him to fight through all the struggles that came along the way and to be able to answer the so what question with, this was good. I'm glad I lived. Glad I lived this day. I'm glad I lived yesterday. And I'm glad I can live into tomorrow. Now, you know who showed up on the doorstep of your home today? Tomorrow. See, today is yesterday's tomorrow. You know that, right? That on Saturday, we were wondering about tomorrow, Sunday, and we're now at Sunday. Tomorrow has arrived. We're here. And, of course, there's another tomorrow, and that means today is yesterday. Now, don't get confused, okay? That in the flow of this time, God has a way for us to understand where we are in time. That we're not misplaced, we're not displaced. God has us just where he wants to be in the time of history if we will trust him and live in harmony with him by pleasing him. So what can we do? Well, first we can gain. We can gain wisdom from yesterday's successes and failures. Anybody ever made any mistakes in your life? Yeah, yeah, there we go. All right, I see five other honest people here. Okay. All right, that's six here we got now. Yeah. So when we have failed, and hopefully failed quickly, but when we have stumbled and created a mess. We've learned that by the grace of God, we need to clean up the mess that we make and learn the lessons and apply them and go forward and don't let them hang over us with a shame and guilt that inhibits us from living a free life today, but to transform the lessons learned by wisdom. The wisdom that God gives, the wisdom that he forms inside of us. So the same author of Hebrews that mentions what he learned from Enoch says it this way in Hebrews 12:1 about all these kind of Hall of Fame people. Therefore, since we're surrounded by this great cloud of lessons learned from the lives of others, let us lay aside everything that hinders us, the sin that can easily weigh us down, entangles us, and run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Now, the race is your life, and the race in pleasing God, the race in God's direction, the race in moving forward in our life in light of God being our creator and trusting him to be Savior and Lord. That's the direction for our race. And we have a lot of stuff that's trying to weigh us down, and we can be set free. From our yesterdays, there's a lot to learn. We can learn from the story of life that's called history. Lewis and Clark, for instance, this core of discovery people who, when Meriwether Lewis, a cousin of the President of the United States, Thomas Jefferson, was commissioned by the President to find a navigable passageway from St. Louis to the Pacific Ocean, and in that navigable passageway so others might be able to follow. So he hooked up the buddy from now Clarksville, who's called Clarksville, Indiana, William Clark. They formed a group of people who were pioneer spirit, floated down the Ohio River to St. Louis, the Mississippi, then the Missouri River, and they thought they could float all the way in their canoes and barges to the Pacific Ocean. That was their plan. They could canoe their way there. They just didn't know what the rivers would be. Until they got to Lehigh Pass. And when they arrived at Lehigh Pass, they climbed up to this peak, and they looked out, and they saw 300 miles of mountains and no river. And what were they to do? Well, they said, well, let's turn around and go back. There is no navigable passageway. They could have said, well, let's carry our canoes across these 300 miles of mountain and keep our oars, and we'll just be on dry ground trying to canoe our way there. Or they said, we can look for another way. And so they had to leave behind those canoes and those oars, and they hiked their way that hadn't been hiked before in this passageway by them. And then on the other side of that long stretch of mountains, now called the Rocky Mountains, that long stretch, they found other rivers that, again, they could use the canoe and the oars and get themselves to the ocean. So as a church, we are trusting in this truth of God, that God has his way forward for us as a church that we've been leaning into and shaping and choosing all the ways that we can be most effective as a church, reaching this culture with the gospel of Christ. That long stretch of mountains is a changing world. Some things we've been doing that we can't do again and expect the same results, and some things we need to be doing that we have been doing and we see the results, and some new things that we need to start doing in order to do what needs to be done to effectively serve the Lord, please God in this stretch of life. And that's what faces all of us. And God is God, and God has his way, and we trust in the Lord individually, and we trust with him in our businesses, and we trust him in the life of our church, and we trust him by building community together. And the core of discovery stayed together as a unit of people in the midst of that tremendous stress and challenge. And that unity was powerful. So one, we can gain wisdom from those who have navigated the past before us. Two is that what Enoch did is that he always came before God. I picture him coming before God daily to get his marching orders. He wakes up in the morning and says, Lord, I'm yours. My heart desire is to follow in your pathway to please you today. Give me my marching orders. And the best he knew that he would put those marching orders into practice, and to do so, that meant he put into play what then the author of Hebrews said, this is what Enoch did. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must first believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So when we awaken in the morning to get our marching orders of what this day is to be about, so that when the evening comes, we ask the so what? What did it mean and matter that I live today? We can say, well, what I do know is that I had a heart desire to honor God today. And tomorrow's coming. And I will live today faithfully by these marching orders. A friend for some of us in our church, but someone who's related in a fulfillment of a desire of our whole church, is Dr. Awela Iloba. She is from Nigeria. Awela, please stand with me. She completed her master's work, and she completed her doctoral work at the seminary that's now on our campus, Logsdon Seminary from Hardin Simmons University in Abilene, Texas. She is a woman minister in Nigeria who powerfully does the gospel, preaches the gospel in Nigeria, also serves in the United States. And we are just proud of her. She just recently, in December, and Dr. Gerald Parker was there for her graduation in Abilene at Hardin Simmons, received that doctorate. Wayla's back in town just for this weekend. And we just want to say we're proud of you and we're grateful for you. How is wanting to just honor God, to please God, giving you direction through all the challenges that you've had to live through?
Well, I'd like to say thank you, Pastor Leslie Boland, for having me here, and also for the gracious honor and open hand I have received from the Community Baptist Church over the couple of years that I've been here, but how can I forget the struggles that I had to go through? Traveling from one continent to another continent, from one country to another country, from the mission field into the classroom, from the classroom to the mission field, and how hectic and strenuous and sometimes overwhelming that could be. But honestly, it was encouragement and the prayers for people like Pastor Leslie Holden, Jim Parker, and so many of you that helped me to go through that. You know, in your midst, I've come to learn and I've experienced what it is to faithfully follow God. Yeah. Because during the time and the spirit of the son, I did lose my father at the last semester, just my finance, 2 years to the last seminar that I had. And so my feet were so, you know, trembling, and I was weak. But I could see the finish line. I could see. But all I needed was people standing beside me, side by side, telling me you could do it. And so with that, I could see beyond my circumstances. And today I stand before you as one, as an African, only African, that's completed a program of doctoral ministry with Lawson Seminary because of the touch and the love that I received. Wow. And I also stand before you, and not just as a female minister, because here in Trinity Baptist Church, my coming was a thing. My ministry was a thing. My ministry back home was filled with grace from Pastor Vicky, with the resources that we have received from you all. And so, let's not express how thankful I am for everything that I've received. And also, I don't know what the future holds for me. I don't know what God is going to do. But I know, as the book of Romans 11:35-36 says, who knows what is in the mind of God? Who has given to him that he should repay him? That to him be all glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. When I asked Awela if she'd be part of my sermon, I said, now, just a brief time. She says, you're going to ask an African minister to speak for a brief time. Uh-huh. And what a powerful story. And like the author of Hebrews, when the author was long ago was going through persecution, so Christians in Nigeria. And her family, her home church, have been through great periods of persecution. But living this faithful story in the midst of that, because there is this direction that God sets for us out of his very character, his goodness, we may always trust in God's goodness. the change that's happening in our own lives and our country is just not about us. This whole world is going through this radical change. And that we've been called like to be touched by the wonder when God gave away the call to this ministry. We didn't know at that time that we would be called to partner in God's purposes. But the seminary got formed and it was just at this right time. And that's how God's economy works, as we're willing to get our marching orders from Him. We see how it unfolds. Thirdly, it's invested. Enoch invested in tomorrow on behalf of others. See, you know, you hear me say so frequently that life includes me. It's not just about me. Life includes you. It's not just about you. But life includes today, but it's not just about today. And we're not to worship yesterday. We've got that? We can't worship yesterday. We build upon the foundations, we grow the promises of yesterday to apply them today and to guide us in tomorrow, but if we're always looking back, we never find our way forward. Tomorrow is the investment of generosity. Tomorrow is the trust in God's provision. 59 years of marriage for Gary and Arlene Patterson. Among those challenges are three serious bouts of cancer that Arlene has lived through, and Gary walked with her through that, served around the world. Change, but trust. Goodness creates a steadiness. And so because life includes today, but it's not just about today, then we are stretched into the bigness of seeing more of what God is wanting to provide. And that's why the same author in Hebrews, in persecuted times, inspired by Enoch and this Hall of Fame folk, said, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us worship God with reverence and awe. Let us have a grace by which we can serve God acceptably and with godly fear. Knowing this to be true, we wake up and think, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. But God is good, and He is unshakable. Therefore, I will find my strength and my security within Him. And then we move through all of those moments, and we see that He got us through in light of His purpose. The so what? Well, the so what is answered by the Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This so what then is the answer to your so what of why you're alive and what your purpose is. And to help to model for a younger generation how to navigate the change of today so that they will have you as a model for tomorrow. And sharing the faith in Jesus Christ to be in a living relationship with people so there is that salvation that stirs the hope inside a person every day. Well, it's an exciting time. A bit scary, but absolutely wonderful in light of God. Let's pray. We're yours and grateful for who you are, because in you then we find who we are and our passage and our purpose within our life. Unto you, O Lord, we give great thanks in Christ. Amen. As we're going to stand in a moment and sing, inspired by the promises which God stirs within our life, what I see is a people courageous and bold, that we may make this community together. Let's do it now.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.